7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again, and we are here with our second round of our 2018 NFL mock draft. And as always, I'm here with Tom and Tim. Guys, how we doing?
I am so excited to see how Pony underscore Keg underscore Tom hashtag colon backslash starts the second round of this mock.
I'm ready. Let's get this fire lit. Let's do this. You guys ready for this?
Ready, man.
You mentioned lit. I have been for hours. Carry on, sir.
With a 33rd overall pick, Cleveland Browns select cornerback Isaiah Oliver from Colorado. You know, Colorado, they've been producing some pretty good corners as of late. Had three defensive backs drafted last year in the 2016 draft, or 2017 draft, and now Oliver is getting picked by the Browns. I think he's got first-round talent, compares pretty well to Mr. Artie Burns, but I don't know if he's ready to play right away. That's why I think he slipped into the second round for us. But Cleveland needs to address that cornerback position. They're getting a long, extremely fast cornerback in Isaiah Oliver, and I think this fits and will help their rebuild effort for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, giving them another DB here, or a DB to build their defense with again. Oliver 6'1", 100, I think he'll weigh in at like 195 at the combine, so we'll see. But 6'1", some pretty good size overall, and like you said, Colorado is turning out some pretty good ones.
I like it. Feel like it's a safe pick for them there at 33. Get a guy who's going to be a factor in some fashion, not necessarily going to be the go-to starter, but definitely will play his role there for Cleveland.
Cleveland has had a pretty decent draft so far in our mock draft. We have Cleveland with pick number one taking Sam Darnold. We have Cleveland at number four taking Minka Fitzpatrick. Again, I don't think we agree at all that he's going to be a outside of the corner type player, maybe a slot corner safety a little bit. And then now you're going to add Isaiah Oliver to the mix. I think it's not bad.
It's a lot. The big-time talent infusion from this draft for the Browns.
With the 34th pick, we have the New York Football Giants. Giants, Josh had going running back in the first round. Did not like that pick. Regardless, I would have had them going here in the second round. Offensive tackle, Martinez Rankin, Mississippi State. Feel like at this spot, they are getting a steal. A monster, someone who can come in immediately, be a starter for them. Not sure exactly where. In time, he potentially could be the starting left tackle for them. But great, great, great value, in my opinion, for them getting him with their second overall pick.
Few other tackles I have slotted a little higher than Martinez Rankin, but it's a big-time need. That offensive line needs to be fixed. We gave them Saquon Barkley in the first round, and if they're investing in a running back that early, they need to address the offensive line as well. I don't mind their defense. I think that unit can still play playoff football, and with OBJ, Evan Ingram thrown in with Saquon Barkley, yes, sir, that this team's going to be a contender.
Yeah, I like Rankin. I actually like Rankin at that spot. I think I had him at that spot in our other two-round mock draft that me and you had, Tom, previously a couple weeks ago. But Rankin here, I actually like the spot. I like the need for it. The offensive line for the Giants is not the greatest. But if you're going to draft a running back at pick number two in this draft, probably safe to say to get an offensive lineman as well to help that out a little bit, in my opinion. Next up, we have pick number 35, which is, again, the Cleveland Browns. I feel like they have 80,000 picks in the first two rounds. Cleveland, I kind of went a couple different ways here. I thought running back with possibly Isaiah Crowell not going back to the team, only having Duke Johnson. I think maybe they could take a running back here, but I went with edge rusher Sam Hubbard. One thing that I like, if there's not a clear-cut option, get another edge rusher. And I feel like if you can get him to pair up with Myles Garrett on the other side, it makes a lot of sense for me.
Yeah, Hubbard, he doesn't possess the... I don't think he's going to test the greatest at the combine. I don't think he's got the greatest bend, but he's a quality prospect. Plays the run very effectively, very good, very consistent pass rusher. I like that spot. I could definitely see him being taken in the late second, so them getting him at the 35th pick, it's good value right there for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't like it. I think that they addressed a lot of areas of need originally. They're better off, in my opinion, using one of their picks to fill the hole that Isaiah Crowell left. They expected big things. They have a halfway defense or a halfway decent offensive line, and adding someone like Sony Michel to complement a Duke Johnson, I think, is fantastic. Or a Rojo or a Nick Chubb, really any of those guys. Not that they couldn't get him with, I know they have another pick coming up here as well, but just really think that at that point a Sony Michel screams at me. With Tom's next pick,
with the 36th overall selection, the Indianapolis Colts select cornerback Carlton Davis from Auburn. You know, he reminds me quite a bit of the cornerback they selected last year in the second round, Quincy Wilson from Florida. He's long. He's probably going to measure close to 6'2", very long arms, very fast, and I think he's the prototypical cornerback that the Colts are going to be looking for in the future. They're going to be running a lot of zone coverage, think Seattle Seahawks-type defense. That's what they're going to be running, a lot of cover three, a lot of cover two, so they're going to like those long, lanky cornerbacks. I think Carlton Davis fits the bill, and this is the best pick of our mock draft so far, either round. Lock it in.
You're a schmuck. Not the best pick, but a great pick nonetheless. I like it. Big body, like you said, long, physical. I like his just his natural intuition. Seems like he has a great sense of where he should be, where they get just natural instincts, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. I like him a lot. Hate Auburn almost as much as I hate Alabama, but a fantastic player. Someone who, on this team, going to be able to start from day one.
Yeah, again, a guy that's got the size. But what I'm worried about is he only has a total of 4 interceptions in his career.
Yep.
So that's the biggest knock I have on him.
Kind of weird. A lot of times on tape, he'll have a shot at picking the ball off and he just swats it down.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Why is that a wide receiver?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Can he catch the ball when it's thrown at him? And because that's what teams are going
to
want you to do.
He doesn't have to. You don't have to catch it. Knock it away.
I like his physical nature,
though. Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
He likes the physical aspect of the game, blows up a lot of receivers.
Listen, when you have a corner who is more excited to hit or swat than to catch, that almost makes me happier. He's not going to try to, you know, jump routes that he shouldn't be trying to jump. You know, he's looking to just end the play more than make himself seem like a big deal. I like that a lot. You know what? This might be the best pick of the mock so far, Tom. I might have to rescind my previous statement. The next pick, I have the New York Football Jets at number 37. At number 6, Dumb Tom had them taking Josh Allen. But you know what?
Great pick.
They address that the back end of that secondary of the defense. They're going to try to improve, plan for the future. Listen, Matt Forte is roughly 106. Bilal Powell, I don't even know if he is under contract with them anymore, in all honesty.
I think he's a free agent.
Who's the other? They had one more. Elijah?
Elijah McGuire.
Thank you, Elijah McGuire. And he did not impress last year. Give the New York Football Jets Sony Michel. Let him go out there and be their bell cow, to see if he can be a bell cow to a whoever it is, a Hackenberg, whether they bring in a Teddy Bridgewater, whether it's or not Hackenberg, Mettenberg, or who the
Hackenberg,
whoever the hell it is, whether they bring in someone to try to just be a layover guy, whether they have a true rookie quarterback, whatever it may be, Sony Michel did enough this past season to warrant a big role for a team, especially like the New York Jets. Let him go. Let him run wild. Let him see what he can do. I like it.
I really hope Sony gets the chance to be a bell cow, to be the lead back. he really hasn't had that opportunity at Georgia. Most of the time, most of his college career, him and Nick Chubb were pretty much splitting carries. It was running back by committee. But I think Sony has the ability to be a lead dog, touch the football close to 250 times a year, and get the job done effectively. I really like this pick, Tim. Probably the fourth best pick overall.
Four of them. I get three of the top four. All right, Josh.
I'm indifferent. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, the biggest thing is if you guys have listen to our previous shows that we've done on the NFL prospects for the running back position. When we did talk about Sonny Michel, we brought up the fact of his fumble rate. And he fumbles the ball every 46 times.
He plays for the Jets. They don't care.
It doesn't matter. To me, it's just it's tough.
That's why it's now, a perfect spot.
Now, the thing is, he does bring athleticism. He does bring explosiveness. He does bring the size as well. But at the same time, I just don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. You're going to have, according to the mock draft so far, we have a rookie quarterback, Josh Allen. We're going to have a rookie running back. It's tough. I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't like Sonny Michel in that system.
Hipster Josh does not like a perfect pick in a perfect situation. Shocking!
I'm just against it. I don't know.
As one Harry Carey would say, holy cow, Josh!
Dude, you are something else. Next up, I have pick number 38, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, edge rusher, Dorrance Armstrong. I know you guys are against it. You guys told me that. Played 4-3 in college. He may not have the size to do it at the next level. But at this point in time, I need to get a edge rusher to these guys. I'm feeling a need. It is what it is.
I'm against you making a dumb pick for your own team. I'm also against what the hell kind of name is Dorrance? That's not a name. That's like,
I should have just went linebacker. I should have took LVB.
You absolutely should have. That would have been far less stupid than the decision that you made. Regardless, Dorrance Armstrong, because that's a person, is your pick, and it's awful.
If Hubbard was there, I would have took Hubbard.
Yeah, but he's not. So it's a terrible pick. He almost adds nothing whatsoever to your team. This is the type of pick I'm thinking, you know what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers might cut their second round pick because he's so bad.
They already did that before.
He's not going to – he wouldn't get cut.
This is almost as bad as them drafting a kicker.
Dorrance Armstrong, if he's asked to play in a 4-3, I think his ceiling right now would be a situational pass rusher, and that's not what you want. I know the Bucks, like Noah Spence, he's looking jacked right now. He's looking good. And they definitely need to put someone across the line from him. I would much rather see Dorrance land in a 3-4 system. I think he's going to be a big-time liability in the run game. And that's why if he's going to that 4-3 in Tampa, he's probably just going to be a situational pass rusher.
Tom, we might be... We might be being a little harsh here. We know Kansas produces their defensive edge rushers a lot, so...
Guys, at one point in time, they were talking about bringing Simeon Rice back, all right? They needed somebody to rush the
ball. So you can't just take a creative player from Kansas.
I gotta take somebody
at round two and say, here's our solution.
I take somebody.
Free agency, anything.
I literally
would have liked you to pick anybody else. Anybody.
Next up.
With the 39th pick, the Chicago Bears select wide receiver
Lamar Jackson.
Cortland Sutton from SMU. He's a big body receiver. I still really think the Bears have a legitimate chance at getting Jarvis Landry via trade from the Dolphins. And if they do that, pairing him with a Cortland Sutton will give Mitchell Trubisky some weapons. Sutton, I don't know if he's as talented as Mr. Alshon Jeffrey is, but I would like to see the Bears give him a big physical wide receiver that he could just throw the football up to. Right now, they don't really have much, and they need to address the wide receiver position. I think it's decent value getting Sutton right there.
Listen, many dumbass experts, including myself, have had Cortland Sutton going as high as 8 overall to the Bears. It's kind of calmed down quite a bit. The combine will probably help, I guess, lay the expectations of where Cortland Sutton will go. If they can get him here, I told you guys before, It reminds me a ton of the way that the Bears got Elshon Jeffrey from South Carolina. Early second round, big-bodied. I'm not sure if Sutton has had the same injury issues that Elshon did at South Carolina, but very, 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 very similar. And with what they have right now as the wide receiver core, obviously they have
Cameron Meredith.
Thank you, Cameron Meredith, Kevin coming White. Off of injury. Kevin White's not a real person, so hopefully he's not on the team anymore, even though he will be. Give me Sutton, Cameron Meredith, and then whatever else is there, and I'll be happy.
I want to ask you guys this. If
no.
Cortland Sutton was taken early in this draft, would there be another wide receiver for the Bears here that you would think would be a good fit other than Sutton?
There's a few. It really depends what else they get. If they get a bigger body receiver, I could see Christian Kirk. I like ESB a lot. I don't think he's going to go that early in a draft. I like DJ Moore a lot. But
Tom hit the nail on the head. It all depends on what they do in free agency. If they do that trade with Miami that Tom was alluding to, or if they get Jarvis Landry or another big body wide receiver, that changes things. But if he goes earlier, then if something goes earlier, I think it's the ESB. They've been looking for a long time.
Equanimeous St. Brown.
Yes, sir.
God.
Great name.
Greatest name to say.
You said it all wrong. It's Equanimeous St. Brown! He becomes a Bear, I'm getting the jersey, and I'm taking him number one in my fantasy draft.
I want the whole name on the jersey. Not just St. Brown. Equanimeous St. Brown.
And everything capital. No lowercase, nothing. I want the fucking period in Saint to be capitalized. They want that big body wide receiver. I feel like that they've been looking for that for a while. Interested to see how Nagy. That's kind of the reason I think they might still go Ridley at 8 because of what they're going to try to kind of do in the movement style of the offense. Ridley could fit into that system early. But if they're looking for that big body wide receiver in the second round, I like Sutton. I like Equanimeous Saint.
My lord.
With the 40th pick, the Denver Broncos are up. What did the Broncos do with our first spot here? Oh, they took Baker Mayfield because they just want to continue their trend of terrible quarterback selection. So they'd selected Brian O'Neill, offensive tackle from Pittsburgh. I actually like this pick quite a bit, especially with Tom. You can shake your head all you want. I don't really care. With a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, if this was the route they would go, a little bit more agile, if you would, and able to deal with the quarterback who can bump in and out of the pocket. So, that's all I'm going to say. I'm waiting for you guys to bash it.
I think O'Neal's going to test great, but watching him at the Senior Bowl was bad. He did not look good out there. Was getting manhandled by the power rushers on the edge. I think a lot of people have been comparing him to a Lane Johnson. He might test as well as him, as Lane Johnson did at the combine. But I don't think he's near the right tackle prospect that he was coming out of college. I think he'll be limited to the right tackle spot. But it'll be interesting. I think it's a little too early. I still got three or four tackles that I have ranked higher than O'Neal. A little bit of a reach to me. The position, though.
I agree. Position makes sense. O'Neal, meh.
Guys, he's scored a touchdown before. Pretty impressive as an offensive lineman. Also,
that's who I want protecting my core.
Also, playing against the ACC, watch his Miami tape. Watch his Clemson tape. There's a couple of games there where he has looked very, very impressive, more so than the touchdown. But for those casuals out there, I'm going to put the touchdown.
Pick number 41, we have the Oakland Raiders on the board, and they drafted offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey in our first round. Terrible. And I was saying that I thought maybe they could have went linebacker at that spot. Here, I am going linebacker. How do you say this? Leighton Vander Esch?
Isn't that the guy who invented Facebook?
I think it's Leighton.
Leighton?
That's the guy who invented Facebook.
No.
Yeah, the Vander Esch twins.
No? Let's call him LVE.
LVE. Going to the Oakland Raiders. This guy is it's a little different. Only 1 year of real starting experience. still kind of maturing as he's going. And he's the guy that's flown up, I think, draft boards the most out of any player at all. And I don't know. We could see him going to the first round. Yep. By the end of it.
Terrible.
He's gonna test out of this world at the combine, from what I've been seeing.
I got the comp.
Bold prediction. I'll be shocked if he land or goes past Pittsburgh. I think he's almost a lock for the first round. I know they've been scouting him like crazy. They've met with him already. But yeah, LBE, he's very, very raw. Only 1 year really playing at Boise State, but when he's free, doesn't have blockers on him, he's fast. He's going to test great at the combine. Very long, built well. I think he's got a chance to be a phenomenal middle backer for the Steelers when they pick him.
I've been screaming from the mountaintop, stop with the comparisons, but this is too obvious. Do you guys not remember John Bostic?
No.
Do you not remember John Bostic?
That's the worst comparison I've ever heard.
It's the same guy.
No.
It's the same exact guy. Same exact everything.
Terrible.
In what way? In what way? They do
Bostic
everything
wasn't
the same.
Even close to being what, the athlete
what was,
that
what was
John Bostic went in the mid-first round.
Hold on. What was the worst comp that you've heard so far, Tom?
Paul Perkins this or Rojo.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no, before that was... But now Tim's John Bostic.
Yeah, that's
Leighton
that's
Van
Der Esch. That's all.
It is the exact same
person. No.
Yes, it is.
Bostic was a big-time thumper, was absolutely horrendous in coverage, and that's not Leighton Van Der Esch. It's not. With the 42nd pick... by the way, all the listeners I do not think the Dolphins will be keeping Jarvis Landry. That's why I made this selection. But the Dolphins select wide receiver Christian Kirk. I think he's going to translate better to a slot receiver. That's definitely what Landry has been for them. There's going to be a lot of production needed out of that slot for them. I like Kirk. He's explosive. He's going to add some value in the return game as well. But I think he's being a little underrated right now. I think he's going to run well at the combine, and he's got that home run threat. Whenever he touches the football, he's got a chance to hit a home run.
I don't like it.
you yelled at me. I don't like it.
No,
I like it. I like it, Tom. Makes sense.
Thank you,
Tom. You're going to replace a player that's a slot guy. I think we can all agree, or at least me and you, think that Landry will be gone.
Yep.
So, if that's being said,
if
Christian
you're
Kirk.
If you're a wide receiver, then St. Brown's a better replacement than Christian Kirk.
You have two of those guys. You have Parker, that's just like Equanimeous St. Brown. You have Kenny Stills, who's a speedster.
Deontay
you don't
Karoon.
Have a guy that goes across the middle. Durr.
I don't know if you know this. Looking more at Leighton Van Der Esch. You ever guys watch Blue Mountain State?
Yeah.
He looks like, what's that big idiot's name?
Tad.
He looks like Tad. Go look at his picture.
No.
I know who he is.
Excuse me, sir. I'm so sorry. Yeah, no. Tom, I don't like your pick at all. If that's your replacement for Jarvis Landry, I don't like it. Christian Kirk is what they already have.
What?
He's Kenny Stills.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Completely disagree with you, Timmy.
Well, that is actually not shocking to most of our fans out there. So we will continue on in this mock draft. And
just warning you guys, this is the worst pick of the second round so far that Tim's about to make.
And, yeah, you hate it. The New England Patriots are up. They need a running game. Tom Brady wants to play till he's 50. Give him a running game. Ronald Jones has the ability to be a bell cow. He's athletic. He can immediately be a factor in the pass game. He can pass block. He's shown it all. He did much more than any New England running back on a much worse offensive line set team in USC last year. Ronald Jones can be an immediate factor in every asset of the offense.
I absolutely love Rojo as a prospect. He's phenomenal. A lot of people are comparing him to Jamal Charles. I see that in his game. Wears 25, has a bunch of lettuce under that helmet. I don't know what that means, but I heard it early.
Why do you keep saying that?
But when's the last time the New England Patriots invested high draft capital into a running back? When's the last time they've really had a bell cow back that they truly rely on? It really doesn't happen. They get random guys off the street, and they make them successful in their system. Look, Deion Lewis, he wasn't really nothing, always banged up. Kevin White, he wouldn't be anything in any other system. Mike Gillisley was a backup. Rex Burkhead, all these guys are backups, and they all have been extremely successful in the New England Patriots system. This team has a ton of needs right now. They don't have a returning offensive tackle on their team right now. They're losing all of them in free agency. They need help. They need playmakers. Offensive
tackles afterwards are worth that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They still need help on the defensive side of the football. They need defensive playmakers. I just do not see them drafting a running back this early in this draft.
Hey Josh, you want to turn the fucking Macarena off? Jesus Christ, some of us are trying to talk about football here. I mean, listen, it's neither here nor there. Josh can't talk because, well, he can't hear. I understand that they have needs to fill, but it comes down to a need with the highest ceiling as well. I don't like any of the tackles. I don't like Jurin. I don't like Chukwuemi. Why are you shaking? That's not how you say his name?
Chukwuma,
Chukwuemi, whatever, man. Chukwuemi. Meme, mem, who the fuck cares? Either way.
It's a terrible pick, Tim.
All right, well, Josh. I agree with Tom, you douchebag.
I don't have to just agree with him because I absolutely hate the pick. But again, I also don't like Ronald Jones as much as you guys do. So,
well, that's true, you do.
So me personally, I don't have that there. Especially running back. I don't see it. So I hate it.
I don't see it because, so I hate it.
Yeah, I just don't see running. I don't see Ronald Jones there. I just
hate Rojo.
I mean, no, I mean, they have Deion Lewis. I don't know if they're going to re-sign him or what the deal is. They have James White. I don't know.
You ever seen the Native Americans carve a douche canoe? It looks exactly like your face with that statement.
I'm also not a believer in Rojo, so I think he's a good running back. I just don't think that's a fit at all.
For me, I'd be shocked if they don't go quarterback here. Look, this is a pick they traded Jimmy Garoppolo for. One of the main reasons they convinced the snake to come back. That's Josh McDaniels, if you guys don't know. Because they are drafting a quarterback this year. I think it's going to be in the second round.
This is can I tell you guys my hope and prayer? I hope and pray that the New England Patriots take their first round pick this year, their second round pick this year, and they trade up to select Josh Rosen. I pray to God.
They need way more than that.
And their first round pick next year. I don't care. I hope they trade the house to get Josh Rosen. Tom Brady and Josh Rosen may break the record for douchiest bunch of scumbags ever on the same team. I would love it. I hate the Patriots. Those two together, I would just absolutely love.
Next up, pick number 44, the Washington Redskins. Their original pick in the first round was Derwin James, safety. Again, that was a spot where I thought that could have gone with an offensive lineman there. So that's what I did here. I went with offensive guard Braden Smith out of Auburn. He's 6'6", 305 pounds-ish, and he's a little bit taller for an offensive guard, which he's going to get knocked on. But he plays a little bit lower because he's so tall. And I think with him as well, Auburn was a very run-heavy team. I think it is an added bonus, especially for this team, especially with staying with Samaje Perine and not going to change to another running back.
They need to address the offensive line. Last year, banged up, and I like Braden Smith here. Really, we kind of went pretty heavy in the interior offensive lineman in the first round, but I could really see that happening. It's kind of becoming an epidemic right now in the NFL of getting quality offensive linemen. It might be a little early, but it definitely fits a big-time need, and he's a very good run blocker, like you said. That'll help Samaje Perine out a lot, and Alex Smith as well.
I don't hate the pick. I do feel like Braden Smith would be better fit for an RPO-style offense. Like Tom mentioned, Auburn, very run heavy. I don't know. Obviously, no one knows who they're going to bring in there at quarterback. Just don't know.
Alex Smith.
Oh, they traded for Alex Smith. I'm sorry. What are they going to do with him? Obviously, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to utilize him, I guess, in Washington. They have a lot of questions to answer on the offensive side of the ball. So I guess we'll wait and see. I don't hate the Smith pick at all, though. He did very, very well for Auburn last year. Kerryon Johnson can attest to that.
With the 45th pick, the Green Bay Packers select tight end Dallas Goedert, South Dakota State University. I think he compares well to a good receiving tight end like a Travis Kelce. Dude can run, very big hands, has a couple of those one-handed catches. I think the Packers right now, they haven't really had a legit tight end. I really don't remember the last one they had. Martellus Bennett stole a lot of money from them last year. He did not plan on playing with that team. He just gave up as soon as Aaron Rodgers went down. But giving Aaron Rodgers a vertical threat at the tight end position will just – it'll make that offense fantastic, amazing, and it'll turn this offense to a different level.
I hate the pick. I think that's the Packers going down the same – rabbit hole that the Bears did with Adam Shaheen last year, which hasn't paid off yet. Very well still could, and the Dallas Goedert pick could pay off as well. But at the end of the day, you know, a Hayden Hurst or a Mark Andrews, specifically Mark Andrews on Green Bay is extremely scary to me. He's proven, you know, he's a big physical guy. He has the size. He can immediately be a factor in he could be out there pretty much every down. Anytime that you need him, he could be the universal tight end, if you would. So, Andrews is still green. I'll give you that. There's still some issues there. But in terms of implementing into a playoff team, I like Andrews to Green Bay more than Goedert. Goedert's cousin.
Goedert.
Goedert.
Okay.
My kids love Goedert. With the 46th pick, the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock once again, all the way back at pick number 12. Tom had the Cincinnati Bengals going with one offensive tackle, Connor Williams. And I'm going to have them go offensive line once again. Jaron Christian, a very talented guy. I'm not sure he's going to be a tackle in the league, in all honesty. He might have to convert, and that's okay. If you're the Bengals, they just need guys who can who can fill holes, in all honesty. He was injured at times in 2017, but playing in the ACC, he played against Bradley Chubb, obviously. So an experienced guy, someone who I think, listen, the Bengals are at a point where they're keeping Marvin Lewis around. They still have the preacher's son. One friggin' the Red Rocket. So put the offensive line in front of him that you basically took out from underneath him last year and ruined his season and see what happens.
I haven't watched a lick of Christian's film besides North Carolina State game where Bradley Chubb stole his lunch money. Kind of indifferent on this. I think there's Tim, our offensive tackle boards are way different. I have quite a few tackles a lot higher than him right here, and I like the position. I definitely think the Bengals need to double or triple down on the offensive line. That's probably their biggest area of weakness
you
for this
prefer
team.
Me taking Chukwuemi?
Yeah, him. I like Jamarco Jones better. I like Tyrell Crosby.
Jamarco Jones.
There's a few guys I would rather see there, and all those guys I also believe could slide inside as well. But I'll definitely have to look into Christian and watch some more of his tape.
Yeah, I'm indifferent on the pick as well. Again, I don't think I have watched much tape on his either.
The North Carolina State tape's pretty bad, but
he's going
against,
Chubb, the best
yeah.
pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, next pick's the worst pick of the
worst
draft.
Pick of any round.
You can say whatever you want to say. It's no
Josh is drafting in a UDFA.
Next pick is going to be number 47, the Arizona Cardinals quarterback, Mason Rudolph. And new head coach for the Arizona Cardinals is Mr. Wilkes. That's coming over from the Carolina Panthers.
Wilkes Booth.
The offensive coordinator is Mike McCoy. Has been in plenty different systems. I am thinking this is where my mentality is, and I think we have seen it in Carolina. They run a little bit of the run-pass option, and that is what Mason Rudolph does best when he is at Oklahoma State. And they got some pretty decent wide receivers there. Not the greatest, but some decent ones. And they still have a very, very good running back that is coming back off of injury. So those are my reasons why that I think Mason Rudolph will go here to Arizona. They need a quarterback. You could have went Luke Falk here. But I think with the run-pass option capability of Mason Rudolph, which I think Wilkes will try to have Mike McCoy instill a little bit of into this offense, because that is what the Panthers did there. That is the reason why I'm going with Mason Rudolph. You guys can disagree with it as much as you want. I still think that any run-pass option system, I think Mason Rudolph is the best run-pass option quarterback in the draft.
Josh, my problem with this is by the time Mason Rudolph actually sees the field, the team looks totally different. You don't know if he fits the system anymore.
How?
When do you think he's going to see the field?
Who's the quarterback?
Anyone else.
Mason Rudolph.
No. You're telling me Mason Rudolph's going to start next year?
If he is drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, then yes.
And they're going to run in RPO system?
I would hope so. Yeah. Because that is what he's best at.
I think you are completely off base. I don't think that they have the personnel there set up right now to do so. You have David Johnson coming off of an injury. The seriousness of his injury, they're going to have to, as much as he's going to want to say, yeah, I'm back 100%, they're going to have to slow play him a little bit. They're going to have to feel they have no one else. Kerwin Williams is gone. Adrian Peterson is gone. They have no one else besides David Johnson right now, I believe. They're going to have to address that running back position. They have Larry Fitzgerald, who this is essentially his last year. And they have a couple of other just pieces there at the wide receiver spot. So you're going to implement a rookie quarterback with a guy coming off of an injury with no wide receivers. I don't get it.
What do you mean with no wide receivers?
For the offense that you're trying to run, implementing a rookie quarterback into that system does not make
sense.
They drafted a
wide receiver last year. Who? They have a speedy John Brown. I don't know his fucking name. Who did they draft last year? You know who he is, right?
Yeah, it's from like Grambling.
Yeah, they drafted they called him the next Larry Fitzgerald. They have Larry Fitzgerald, possibly still for this year. They have John Brown, even though I hate his guts. He's still fast. J.J. Nelson. That is what the run-pass option is there
they
for.
Have an
that is what it's
they
for.
They have an offense set up right now.
I hope he gets drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. I hope he does, and I hope they run the run-pass option, and then I'm going to fucking...
They can
I'm
run
gonna shove
it
this
all
right
they
back
want.
In your face.
They can run it all they want. The Arizona Cardinals next year are a 4-1 team.
And if Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, he throws for over 3,500
yards. 3,500
yards.
If not more. Josh, if he doesn't, please get on your knees and suck my dick. Because there's no fucking way that he's throwing for 3,500 yards. There's no way. There's a better chance of you fucking throwing for 3,500 yards from your couch. 3,500 yards. Jesus Christ.
With the 48th selection in this year's draft.
You didn't want to bash my pick.
The Los Angeles Chargers select offensive tackle Chukwuma Okafor from Central Michigan. Or Western Michigan. I just like this kid as a prospect. Last year, Taylor Moton got drafted in the third round by the Bills. He played right tackle. And Okafor started over him at left tackle. I think he could play inside or outside. I think he's a better project outside. He might need to sit a little bit, but there's a big time need for the Chargers at the right tackle position. I think Okafor come in day one and be the right tackle for the Chargers.
Chewing bubblegum Oklahoma for is a talented athlete out there, big bodied. Again, I agree with the latter part of what you said, Tom. He's gonna have to sit for a little bit, but with the need there for the Los Angeles Chargers, it's a good pick. I don't think it's a bad pick. I think it's more of a safe pick. Let him be there, kind of bring him along. Best case scenario, he's playing for you. you know, regularly come week 8, week 9, in my opinion. But I like the pick.
I hate everything Tim just said. But yeah, the pick I'm fine with.
You don't like the fact that I said this quarterback is good. I hate what you say.
I just can't wait till we're at the end, and then we'll just put some more information.
I can't wait till he has negative 200 yards passing.
Tim, you're up.
The New York Jets are up once again. Obviously, early we had them go quarterback. We had them go running back. And now, in my opinion, they're going to go back to the defensive side of the ball. And one Dante Jackson is the perfect fit for them. They addressed the safety position in the first and second round last year, I believe, correct? Jamal Adams and who's the second safety? I can't remember. Regardless, Dante Jackson, physical SEC, just a physical beast, in my opinion. Obviously, one of Jamal Adams' teammates, which I like quite a bit. His nickname, the Dark Queen, don't like that so much. Don't really understand it. Dude's a physical freak, and I feel like pairing him with Jamal Adams after addressing the offensive side of the football like they did in our mock draft helps them quite a bit.
He's a cover corner. There's a very good chance he might have the fastest 40 time at the combine this weekend. Smaller, he might be that slot corner that they need, but dude's a freak. I think there's going to be games where he looks like an all-pro, and then games where he gets burned for 3 touchdowns, kind of raw as a player overall.
The life of a cornerback.
Yep, but overall, he's got all the athletic ability that you really need and that you're looking for a corner besides the size. So that's why I think he's going to be limited to playing slot, which is super important. Nickel is ran over 60% of the time for most defenses in the modern day passing NFL. So big time value there for the Jets. Love the pick.
Josh, you want to tell me how great this pick was? Because it's a great pick.
I don't mind the pick.
Yeah, go ahead. Say it's wrong, bitch.
I got, I like Dante Jackson. I don't mind him at all. So, mediocre. Good job. Next up, pick number 50, the Dallas Cowboys. I ended up going corner on this pick. A little undersized. Mike Hughes out of Central Florida. But it's tough with Mike Hughes. He's got a lot of potential, I guess would be the correct word. And he's only really had 1 year of actual starting position at the corner position, but I think that you're looking at Dallas. They drafted a corner in the second round last year. They drafted a corner in the third round last year. They still have what's-his-face safety from 2015 that they drafted. Byron Jones.
He might be moving to corner as well.
Exactly. It depends. Depends what they do with Byron Jones. I think this right here, you could put him on the outside. You could put him on a slot. It'd be very interesting, but I still think that they need an upgrade.
I like Mike Hughes. I think he might be one of the most underrated corners in this draft class. He does have off-the-field issues. I believe he was kicked out of UNC and had to go to UCF, but he did win a national championship this year, so it was worth
up.
It.
Shut the fuck up.
I like him. I think he's got a small chance of being drafted in the first round, but he's one of my favorite corners in this class. I like how physical he is. In the run game, he's not afraid to tackle and hit, and I absolutely love that in corners.
Listen, I don't hold the quote-unquote personal issues against him. He was at a frat house. Something stupid happened. He got kicked off the team for violating team rules, which is code for we don't think you're good enough to keep you on, is what it comes down to. Goes to Central Florida, proves those sons of bitches wrong. My personal opinion is he just doesn't... I like the pick for Dallas. I think it could pay dividends for them. They just don't know exactly what they're getting. Could work out great. Could be a guy that's not on the team in 2 years.
With the... what pick, man?
51.
With the 51st pick, the Detroit Lions select defensive lineman Taven Bryan from Florida. Detroit right now, they're pretty much the Midwest version of the New England Patriots. Got a Patriots head coach, Patriots general manager, bunch of former Patriots in the front office. Patriots like to build in the trenches early and often in the NFL draft. Taven, I think he's got a great great future in the NFL. Extremely athletically gifted. Football instincts kind of low. A lot of times look like he's guessing. But if you're asking him to be a one-gap defender and just telling him to put pressure on the quarterback on the inside, he's going to do a fantastic job at that at the next level.
I feel like this year, more than ever, it is in the second round. Like last year, I felt like the draft was very deep. There was a lot of guys who went later that you were like, oh man, like those are going to be big time factors. Not sure a lot of, like Taven Bryan, Mike Hughes, all these guys are guys that high upside, but also low floor, in my opinion. I like Taven Bryan. Interested to see what he does coming out of, Florida?
Florida.
But not sold, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's... I'm kind of where Tim is at that. I think that... I've read multiple mock drafts now where I've seen him moving higher and higher up into the mock draft area, early second round. I haven't seen anything push him into the first round consideration because I don't think he's there in the first round, obviously. But
wait till after the combine.
Yeah, he's gonna be a freak. Yeah, he'll have some decent numbers, and that'll be kind of where I make or break my decision on him, I guess. But yeah, I'm more interested to see what he does at the combine. But he's from Casper, Wyoming, Tom. So
that is a former Navy SEAL.
Can't hate on that.
With the 52nd overall pick was, if I can pat myself on the back, it was my favorite pick that I've made through the first or second round. In all honesty, it's the Baltimore Ravens. In the first round, we said how much they addressed the defensive side of the ball in 2017 draft. In 2018, I feel like they're going to be addressing offense. If they got Kelvin Ridley in the first round, and then with this pick, I have them taking Mark Andrews, tight end out of Oklahoma. That is like the perfect, ideal situation for them. They still have some holes at offensive line. They potentially, I know Tom disagrees, and so does Josh, because they like Alex Collins so much that I think they still need some help at running back. But Mark Andrews, big-bodied, I think immediately will be an offensive factor. Can block a little bit. Not the best pass-blocking tight end, in all honesty. But if you're looking for the quote-unquote Gronk-esque style tight end, I like Mark Andrews for that. I like what he adds, especially if they have other weapons. If Joe Flacco is able to sit back in the pocket at all and find... if Mike Wallace is still there, and Kelvin Ridley and Mark Andrews, and then even one of the running backs, I love it for them. If I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I am extremely, extremely excited.
I like where you went with the pick. I would have rather have seen Hayden Hurst go here. He's a better run blocker in my eyes than Mark Andrews is right now. He is a little bit older. I think he might be 25 come the first game of the NFL season, but I think his overall game fits better with the Baltimore Ravens play style and what they're trying to accomplish as a team. But giving them another weapon like that, really can't complain.
Yeah. They need a...
he wants to like it.
They need a tight end. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Again, I'm not a...
Didn't they have they had three or four go down with season-ending injuries last year?
And again, I'm not a... I am a huge fan of Alex Collins, Tim, you cocksucker. I think Alex Collins is awesome, but I don't think that he's the quote-unquote the guy for the Baltimore Ravens. They went defense heavy.
Yep.
Last year, huge on defense, and they need to do something to turn that offense around. And if you take a wide receiver and then pair him up with a tight end such as Andrews here, you're going the right direction. But I think offensive line could have been a need addressed as well.
Yeah, so they still need the right tackle, and can't believe you're not all aboard that Alex Collins train yet, Josh. I really think he's...
I like Alex Collins. I'm believe me, man, when he was coming out of school, Arkansas, yeah. I loved Alex Collins. I told everybody I thought Alex Collins was the best running back in the draft that year. And you know what? shit happens. I just think that on the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know. I just don't like the fit. I just really don't.
I really think he's going to be the guy in Baltimore, and I will be owning him a lot in fantasy football next season.
Next up, pick number 53. Buffalo Bills are on the clock. They are going to try to shore up that quarterback position. They are going quarterback, Mr. Luke Falk. And believe me, man, I like Luke Falk out of Washington State. 6'4", 225 pounds. Guy's got size. It's funny because I remember watching him last year, right? And I told you when we were doing a lot of quarterback comparisons, I said, watch that Luke Falk tape, because the one thing that really, really impressed me is his ability to stand in the pocket. And with that being said, that might be his biggest downfall, is to stand in the pocket and get blasted by some of these guys. He took 125 sacks in his collegiate career. That is a ton of getting hit.
It's not good.
No, he's taken a lot of injury, a lot of wear and tear on that body. But at the same time, he throws the ball very well. He's got a quick release, compact release. The only things that I've ever seen where he has issues with is a deep ball over the middle. I have not seen anything else that I dislike about Luke Falk besides the possible injury concerns that I do see him possibly having.
Yeah, Luke Falk, you hit the nail on the head with his quick release, his accuracy. If Sam Darnold had those two things, it would be clear-cut, best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. Those things are near elite in my eyes. He does have a few holes, not the greatest athlete.
And his passing completion percentage is top five.
Yep.
For, what, the last 3 years?
Yep.
Crazy.
And you watch him in the Senior Bowl when all those guys were competing. He was throwing it exactly where he needed to every throw. He was the most accurate quarterback in Mobile, and I think his stock's up. And if I had the first New England Patriots pick, Luke Falk would have been my selection right there, but Tim dropped the ball.
God damn, I may have. Listen, Josh, you mentioned it. Luke Falk, he's been blasted by more dudes than you. It's been absolutely unreal what he has gone through in his college career. Definitely think it's situational of, I shouldn't say that. He needs to just end up in the right situation to find any success. I don't think Buffalo is that spot. May have been New England, like Tom alluded to, but I just don't see that either. If you're the Buffalo Bills and you go into the 2018 season having Luke Falk and Nathan Peterman as your 2-3 quarterbacks, I literally just threw up in my mouth, and I feel bad for Bills Mafia. It's going back to, you were a playoff team, and now you're going back to a 5-6 win team, potentially.
Would you finger your butthole if they...
what was that?
That's what the Bills Mafia does.
Would I finger my butthole for what?
If Luke Falk got drafted.
I fingered it for less.
Okay, with the 54th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs address a big-time need. They just made a monster trade and got rid of Marcus Peters. So they are bringing in Jair Alexander from Louisville. You know, right now, Alexander isn't getting a lot of love, and I think he needs to. Yeah, his junior year, he was banged up a lot. But what everyone wanted Tease Tabor to be last season, that's what Jair Alexander is. I think Alexander will be a much better athlete. He's not going to run in the high 4.6s like Tease did last year, but his instincts are off the charts. Great awareness, great in zone coverage, and I think he's going to be a ball hawk and probably have the most interceptions out of any quarter in this rookie class this year.
It's a bold statement.
I'm a believer.
Yeah, I like it, Tom. They got to go corner, even though they did get a corner in their one trade that they did correct.
They got Fuller, but he's a slot corner.
Exactly.
Amerson got cut by the Raiders, who have shitty corners.
Yep.
So
they do need to fill that position, and Alexander, I think, is a great pick. I like that.
Moving on to the 55th overall pick, the Carolina Panthers are on the clock. And what do we do for Carolina there? in the first round. Let's see. We had Carolina going with offensive guard Billy Price. Tom made that decision.
Great pick, Tom.
And you know what? To be fair, at the time, I wasn't a fan of it, but I said that I would have liked Carolina to go potentially wide receiver. What they still get here in value at wide receiver is fantastic. And pairing the two together, Tom, I will say, good job. They are able to get one wide receiver, Equanimeous St. Brown, wide receiver. Notre Dame.
We are way higher than most draft pundits on ESB right now.
I like him.
I like him a lot.
He's my number two.
I absolutely love his physical ability. He had terrible quarterback play and was still putting up good numbers.
As a Notre Dame fan, the only thing I will say, and I love him, I hope he's fantastic, but like a typical Notre Dame wide receiver, he's got hands issues. He gets alligator arms very, very quickly as well. Having him at your number two, I think, is a big-time reach. I love him. Hope he ends up. I hate the Carolina Panthers. If he goes there and him and Cam go out there and dominate, more power to him. I would like that quite a bit. Hope nothing but the best for Equanimeous.
Tim, do you think he's got a chance to go in the second round?
I do.
Okay.
I absolutely do. I think that there's a – I don't think that the gap between him and Courtland Sutton is as big as many of the quote-unquote experts are alluding to. Sutton and St. Brown are
– if the gap is not that big, then where do you – you have Sutton as your number two, correct?
I do right now, yes. And I just said be careful. All I said was be careful because he has alligator arms because he does. He drops.
You know
a
who else
balls.
Has alligator arms? Is goddamn Will Fuller. But you know what? With the right system and the right quarterback, he's actually playing pretty decent for as shitty as he is.
Which is exactly why I have ESB going in the second round. So why don't you calm your bitch-ass Kourtney Kardashian ass down and let me finish my sentence, okay? ESB is very good, and with what they have going on right now in the Carolina offense, could be exactly what they need. Carry on, Chloe, you bitch.
Well, the Buffalo Bills wish that they had the chance to draft Mr. St. Brown, but they have to settle for one James Washington. Yes, James Washington from Oklahoma State. Yes, the same guy that looks like a running back. That is playing wide receiver. He's 6 foot, 205 pounds. I think he'll weigh in a little bit heavier than that. But honestly, that's what he looks like. It looks like there is a running back outside. But the thing is, he runs right by people, and he has great hands, and he does catch the ball. There are issues with him. Some of the biggest ones are comeback routes. He has an issue turning around, putting the foot in the ground, and coming back to the ball. But in the open space, in the open field, he can catch the ball and run away from you.
Yeah, James Washington, when I originally saw him, I was like, that's a running back. And I was absolutely shocked by the amount of separation he was creating. Even when I saw the Big 12 tape, I was like, oh, that's Big 12 defense right there. But he was doing the same thing at the Senior Bowl against some high-level corners there. And I think that's going to be his game in the NFL. And I'm not worried about it. The only issue going to Buffalo, if they have Tyrod Taylor, it's kind of wasting his greatest asset, which is the deep ball. That he tracks the deep balls very well, goes up there and gets it. Really, you don't expect a guy who's 6 foot to do that, but he does it exceptionally well. It's probably his best traits.
If I could somehow enunciate a poo emoji the right way, that's what I would do for this pick.
I don't understand why you don't like James Washington.
Because
I don't get that at all.
Because he's not a real running back and he's not a real wide receiver.
He's not a running back. He's not a receiver. Running back.
He's nothing. He's not. I hate him.
He's more of a polished receiver right now than ESB is.
No, absolutely
yes,
not.
Better hands.
I disagree.
He's got better hands. I think he's got more. He's got better breakaway speed. Yeah. Route tree, I'd probably give it to St. Brown over Washington because
agreed,
he doesn't run.
My point is, I will go ahead and dollar bet you right now, Josh, that ESB 100% goes before James Washington in the draft.
Take that.
I just told you.
Take it, punk.
ESB
bitch.
Is my number two.
So
I think Washington will go.
I think somebody's going to fall in love with this breakaway speed.
It's a good chance that James Washington could be waiting till later in day two, in my opinion. I'm not sold on anyone in Oklahoma State, in all honesty. Sorry, Josh. We're not all big. Okay. We didn't all bet Oklahoma State throughout the season in 2017.
I did. I was. I know going
you
did. All
That's why you. State. Why you've drafted no, 84 no. Oklahoma
there,
State players.
There was one tape that I did watch where I was very disappointed in James Washington, and that was when they played Texas, and Holton Hill was the one covering them. And I that was when I texted you guys. I said, "Man, this Hill kid is really good." And then it turns out that
he wasn't a drug addict.
Yeah. So, hey, pretty crazy.
Big deal. Drugs help sometimes.
Moving on.
Moving on to pick number 57.
That's me, Tim. Quit announcing my pick number.
I stopped for you.
With the 57th pick, the Tennessee Titans select linebacker Malik Jefferson. He's an athletic freak. Doesn't have the greatest football instincts in the world. Kind of guesses a lot. But when he sees the play develop and just gets the opportunity to go and tackle, I don't know if there's another player in this draft that I'd rather have than Malik Jefferson. I think he's going to test through the roof. I think his stock might go up right now. A lot of people are a little bit lower than him than we originally thought going into this draft process. Originally slated as a late first-round pick. Now a lot of experts, third, fourth round. I think that will go up. I think he will be taken in the late part of round two. But the Titans, they get another young, phenomenal defensive player, add to team speed, and Mike Vrabel's going to love him in Tennessee.
If this fell into the Titans' lap, they would be thrilled. This actually is, outside of anything that I made, my favorite pick of these mocks.
About Carlton Davis?
No. I love this. Honestly, I think to exactly what you said, Tom, he was a bottom of the first round pick originally. He's fallen back. I think after the combine, he's going to jump back off the boards.
Yep.
And I definitely see him, you know, like we Tom mentioned earlier, we had a lot of guards. We had a lot of linemen go in this draft. Looking back, that's my biggest takeaway of what I wish we would have changed. Obviously, in the moment, we're going off of what fits for the team there, and it is what it is. But Malik Jefferson lasting this long, he's going to end up being an end of the first round pick. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I do agree with that. End of the first round, if not the first eight picks into the second round. So, Malik Jefferson, very good.
Tim, you're up.
With
the next pick.
The 58th pick, the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to go with, I think, a little bit outside of the box here. They have a few needs, but safety, Terrell Edmonds, Virginia Tech. Big-bodied, very physical, maybe a little bit oversized for the position. Potentially could be, when I see him, I think of the of Jabril Peppers last year, in all honesty, of where he could kind of float in different NFL schemes. And Jabril Peppers was a first-round pick, but he has that actual talent and the physical attributes to be a solid NFL player. Not as obviously, what's the word? Awarded, or what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm not going to help you.
Well, that's because you don't have a dictionary. But not as as valued as his brother Tremaine. But Terrell Edmonds is a very good safety, and you know, maybe a linebacker at the second round. Possesses a lot of athletic ability that's worth the pick.
I like the player, but absolutely hate the fit. Look, drafting, he's going to be in the box safety, more likely a strong safety. Doesn't have the greatest ball skills. Don't see him being that center fielder that they need in Atlanta as a free safety. They drafted Keanu Neal 2 years ago. 2 years ago in the first round, so now they're drafting a backup strong safety in the second round. It just doesn't make sense.
I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think that there was much left on the board. I think this is more of a best player available.
Sean Elliott. Boom.
I don't agree with that. I know you. It's just your Texas boy stuff.
Reed from Stanford. Texas. Brother Eric.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
Cousin to Ed?
No. It's R-E-I-D.
Josh, what dumbass shit do you got to say?
Next up, pick number 59.
Got skipped. Ooh.
Running back, Kerryon Johnson. The only, and I actually kind of, now looking at this, I kind of want to change it, but obviously we're not going to do that. But I think the position definitely is running back here for the 49ers. Carlos Hyde, most likely going to leave. Of course, that would change if he does stay. But Kerryon Johnson, again, he had a very good season last year, but he did get very banged up by the end of the year. Had some big games down the stretch, though. And he runs a lot of comparison by the end of the year was with Le'Veon Bell, where he glides across the line and then goes through the hole. And I guess I could see it, but comparing him to Le'Veon Bell's quite a stretch. And I'm not going to do that, but I think that he does have three down capability in the NFL. But I think I would want to change it to a different running back.
I like the fit in San Fran. To be a running back in that system, you're going to have good hands, good route running. And I think Kerryon has that. I think he's got the ability to get a lot better at it as well, though. I think he's got potential to be one of those running backs, 30 to 40 receptions on a year. And in that Kyle Shanahan system, that's perfect. I really like the fit, Josh.
Hey, Josh, I love it. I don't really understand where you're coming from if you wished it would change. If dum-dum Carlos Hyde, you know, sticks around and continues to put out the production that he has, I feel like Hyde and Kerryon Johnson are a fantastic Thunder and Lightning. And I don't like either of those guys personally, but for San Francisco with Jimmy G and whatever they're going to add elsewhere, I love it.
With the 60th overall selection, the Minnesota Vikings select defensive lineman Trenton Thompson.
My cousin.
From Georgia. You know, it's a little bit of a reach in all honesty. He's been banged up a lot of his career, but when he's been on, I don't know if I saw another player give Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey more issues this season than him. High motor guy. Extremely disruptive. Put him in that attacking 4-3 system, one gap responsibilities. I think he could do a lot of damage for the Vikings in that system.
As someone who has watched a ton of Georgia football, I love Trenton Thompson. I love his attitude. I love his kind of mean streak that he has. With that said, Trenton Thompson's the type of player to me that, you know, 3 years from now, diabetes might have taken a foot. He's just not.
Dude, you got. There is something wrong with you.
I'm being serious.
That fat, dude.
He's
under 300 pounds.
I know that he's under 300 pounds.
Why is diabetes going to get him and not freaking Vita Vea? Who's 350 pounds. You're an idiot. Skip.
I'm not skipping it. I stand by what I said. I stand by what I said.
The diabetes. Good. God.
Trent Thompson. I like all the positive the positive things about him, right? But there are some negatives.
Yeah.
He did play hurt much of his career. He only played 35% of the defensive snaps for Georgia. So that's the other issue as well. MCL injuries, sprain, not tear or anything like that, but multiple injuries over the course of his career. That's the biggest drawback. Yep. So I think with him, who knows if I don't know if he's going to get drafted to be the guy in the middle. I don't think he's going to be the future guy in the middle. I think he's going to be a rotational guy. I think for me, second round, it's kind of a reach, but that's where I'm at. You got anything else stupid to say?
No, skip him.
You won't let me say anything.
Tim, you're up.
With the 61st pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select tight end Hayden Hurst out of South Carolina. I like the kid quite a bit.
He's kind of a man. He's going to be 25.
He is. He is a man, but he's a kind of like that, just hillbilly man-child type deal. When I watch him play, why are you laughing?
You need to stop drinking. What's wrong?
It's not bad. Watch him play. Watch some of his interviews. Just watch him. I'm not saying it in a negative way. I like him quite a bit. He obviously has some issues. Like you said, Tom, he's going to be 25 years old. his route tree is not great in terms of a passing tight end. Easily coverable, I guess, at times is my biggest, his biggest issue, but he's ready to get in the thick of things immediately. His blocking on both rushing and passing, he's going to be a valuable asset there. He's a very aggressive tight end is what I like. I saw one of the comparisons out there. I don't know if it's freaking Dumb Dumb Walter Footballs or NFL.com, but Dallas Clark. That's one of the comparisons I saw. I like him a lot, so I don't know why you're mocking me for what I said about him.
He's gonna fit that culture in Jacksonville. He's a good physical blocker that likes the contact of the game, and I think it'd be a great fit for him, especially at 61. I'd be kind of pissed if he lasted this long, and they got a quality tight end like Hayden Hurst going right there.
Next up, pick number 62, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have them selecting a linebacker, Darius Leonard. Yes, Tim, he's not a creative player. He's a real player. And the guy tackles. Like, he's a tackling machine. In 2016, when he played Clemson, he had, 19 tackles? Last year overall, he had 114 tackles total, 8.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, 14 tackles at the Senior Bowl. I think he's just showing more and more that he can handle the higher competition. Mm-hmm. Plus, Tim, in, what was it, not last year, but the year before, he was a part of the defense that held, and I thought this was a pretty funny stat that I saw, but he held your boy, Tariq Cohen, to his worst rushing performance.
I hate Tariq Cohen.
His worst rushing performance in college that year. So I think he's a tackling machine. He can get it done, and I like the possibility of this kid, 6'2". Again, only from South Carolina State, not highly sought as a recruit going into college, but I think it's going to be very interesting.
Great straight line speed. You saw him at the Senior Bowl. I believe he was the co-defensive MVP at 13 or 14 tackles in that game. He's just that modern day NFL linebacker, smaller, but can run around, make the hit. Consistent tackler, not worried about him at all. I love the landing spot, and I think it's a great fit. You're right, Tim.
I'm good.
You have anything else to say on Darius Leonard?
Crazy redneck hillbilly out there.
Darius Leonard is not that.
With the 63rd pick, the New England Patriots select edge defender Lorenzo Carter from Georgia. I like his game. Georgia used him all over the field, used him as an edge rusher, used him as an off-the-ball linebacker, and I think the New England Patriots will like the versatility that he brings. They like to run a lot of exotic formations, and I just think he's a good scheme fit. I think he's going to test well. Extremely long kid, kind of lanky, kind of like, what's your boy, Leonard Floyd, kind of in that same mold, same body style. Probably won't be as athletic as him. If he was, he'd probably worn a day one draft day. But I like Carter as a player, and he was a big part of that Georgia defense this year.
Yep. Very interesting to see how Kirby Smart kind of continues to grow this defense. Obviously, he's a defensive-minded guy. But guys like Leonard Floyd, guys like Lorenzo Carter, not normally necessarily in his MO. He likes normally the more physical linebackers, DBs with speed as well. But like you mentioned, Carter, Floyd, lengthy, big wingspan, skinnier type of guys for that position. I like Carter. Feel like this might be a little bit early for him, in all honesty.
Nuts.
That's just me.
Yeah, I honestly think with our mock draft where we took so many offensive linemen such as offensive guards or offensive tackles, I think we will see Lorenzo Carter move up into the top half of the second round compared to where he's at now where we have him to late. Honestly, our next mock draft, I think we're going to try to overcompensate for the fact that we took so many offensive guards, I think we may see him in the top 10 of the second round.
Between the guards dropping and Luke Falk being put in essentially the undrafted free agent market, it's gonna not Luke Fulk. I'm sorry.
Mason Rudolph. Mason
if you're
Rudolph.
Gonna if you're gonna come back with something, say the right name.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm trying to agree with you, Josh. Okay.
Put Mason Rudolph in the first round.
With the 64th pick,
the final pick
of the second round, I have the Cleveland Browns finally selecting a running back. They lost Isaiah Crowell. All they have left is
Duke
Johnson Jr., I believe. So they're going to draft one Nick Chubb, Georgia. Back-to-back Georgia picks. I think that the Chubb-Duke combo is very similar to the Chubb-Sony Michel combo at Georgia. Their offensive line is very talented. I know we were all high on Crowell going into last year, specifically because of what they addressed at the offensive line position. So if it's anything like we thought it was going to be last year, listen, you're talking about the Browns with their fifth pick, I believe, in this draft, yep. getting a previously, you know, obviously before knee injury, but potential top three pick, you know, at 64 overall. Obviously, Chubb has his issues. Breakaway speed's not what it used to be, but he has shown that he can be a valuable asset. You saw it throughout last year.
Pairing Nick Chubb up with Duke Johnson, great 1-2 punch. Just be similar to what Chubb had at Georgia. He won't be relied upon on being that receiving back. That's something Duke Johnson thrives at doing, and that would be a great thing to give a young quarterback like Sam Darnold, a quality running back like Nick Chubb. I like the pick, Tim.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm not gonna disagree with the fact that that it would be a good comparison for Nick Chubb when he was in college with Sonny Michel. I'm gonna say Sonny every single time. I don't care.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like him and Isaiah Crowell, there's not that big of a difference between the two. So that's where I stand at. And believe me, I had Nick Chubb as my number two rated running back for the longest time. And watching more and more tape, I just slowly slide him down. And again, Tim, you've even said it yourself. That knee injury does take a little bit more out of you than you think. So, I don't know. That's where I'm at with it.
Didn't see it this year, did you?
He looked a little slow.
His numbers say differently.
Whatever.
Still a good running back, but he's like a 30-year-old Frank Gore instead of a 25-year-old Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
All right, guys. Worst picks, best picks of this mock draft.
Hey, Josh, why don't you go first?
Worst is Tim's Falcons pick.
Yeah, I didn't like that Falcons pick.
Wasn't a big fan of the Mason Rudolph pick.
I did not like the Ronald Jones pick for the New England Patriots.
Agree. Carlton Davis was probably the best pick.
Worst pick I have. Man, there's so many just terrible picks by Josh. But definitely Mason Rudolph, 47. Awful pick. I don't see them taking an undrafted free agent in the second round.
He's going to get drafted.
And the best pick I will go with. I can't take myself. That's a dick move.
So you honestly think he's going to go undrafted?
No.
All right.
I don't think he's going to go undrafted for real. But I do think that you're a good two rounds ahead of where he'll actually get drafted.
We'll see.
At least. Best pick. Give me... Jesus Christ. Malik Jefferson. I like Malik Jefferson of Tennessee by Tomas. That might be my favorite pick actually through both of our first two rounds. Coming up next, we're going to have our third round.
Nope, we are not.
Josh gave up. I call him a douche canoe too many times.
No, I just get irritated with stupidness.
We'll probably be doing another one of these post-combine. Probably a week or two after, and then probably our final one as well.
Not next week, but the week after.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch this combine.
We're going
to
set up a... We'll do seven. We're gonna do seven rounds. Tell it, you guys.
Just save that for the final one.
No.
Well, I'm not doing a seven round one next week, so, or 2 weeks. Just warning you. I'll do a two-rounder.
You're going to do it.
No. Tim.
When are you going
to do it? Hey, freedom of speech. You can't just... I'm not your kid. You can't force me to do stuff. I don't want to. If I want to walk out right now, I'll do it, Tim. Because this is America.
Yeah, I know. And you did it after the Colts didn't get fucking Josh McDaniels.
All right. With that being said, we're done here. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you guys are listening to this, hopefully you listened to part one, which is our
round one. If you listened to this and you didn't listen to part one, you're a fucking superhero.
Yeah, so do yourselves. Listen to part one. Share this to everybody. Again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony underscore Keg underscore Tom
colon
and at Fight Talk Tim. You guys can always email us ponykegsports@gmail.com. And until next time,
Wakanda. Peace!